This is Good Hope Through Grace, broadcast ministry of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I thank you for tuning in this evening. I'd like to call your attention to the book of Romans and Romans chapter 8. Book of Romans chapter 8, and we'll continue our study through this grand book. Now, what we're going to title the message tonight is The Redemption of Our Body. The Redemption of Our Body. Now, we're looking forward to a coming redemption. And this text refers to that, and in it, God's people are seen as groaning within themselves as they look forward to the coming redemption of our body. But not only do the children of God look for it, but the context that we're going to look at this evening will also show that even creation itself looks forward to the coming manifestation of the sons of God. That is, the day when we get our new bodies, the day when we'll be with Him and we will be like Him. So that's what we're going to look at this evening, and we're going to title the message, The Redemption of Our Body. So let's go ahead and begin at verse 23, and then we'll back up and get some of the other verses in our text. Now it says in verse 23, not only they, but ourselves also. Now he's speaking of people that were saved. He said ourselves. The Apostle Paul writes ourselves in the text. And he's speaking of not only himself, but also those of the Church of Rome that he's addressing and writing this epistle to. He says that we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, first fruit was that which was first ripe from a harvest. For instance, in the nation of Israel at Passover time, they would bring some of the first fruits from the barley harvest, and they would offer them up to the Lord as a token of thanksgiving for the harvest that the Lord gave. It was called a first fruit offering. Of course, the first fruits is actually a picture of Jesus' resurrection. We'll deal that with maybe another broadcast in the future. But the first fruits was just that which was first ripe from a harvest. If you go on to the Feast of Pentecost, that was also a time when they would bring of the first fruits from the wheat harvest, and they would offer it up out of thanksgiving to the Lord. But the first fruit was a sign that something greater was coming. Well, here it says that we have received the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, that's speaking of saved people. That's speaking of someone that has received, that has trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It says that they have received the first fruits of the Spirit. That means that we have received the Holy Spirit. Now, the book of Romans chapter 8, and we've seen this earlier in the book, it says in verse 9 of Romans 8, it says that ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So one of the signs that you belong to the Lord, one of the blessings and benefits of belonging to the Lord, is that the Holy Spirit indwells you. But Galatians says he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. So when you're born again, when you're saved, when you trust Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit. And here the Holy Spirit is referred to as being the first fruits. Well, there's other texts that teach the same thing, and we want to look at those to get all of this in mind, because we need to see the importance of the Holy Spirit being the first fruits. Remember, the first fruit from a harvest was a sign that something greater was coming. And that same thing is true when you're saved. The Holy Spirit takes up His abode in you. He dwells within us. And He is a seal. He is a earnest. And He is a first fruit. And He's the sign that something, He is the proof and the guarantee, I must say, that something greater is coming for you. Isn't that wonderful? In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, it mentions that the Holy Spirit is a seal. Now listen to this, Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now it says that when you believed, after that ye believed, now it says ye were sealed. Now the word believed means that we trusted in Jesus. Believe is more than believing that God existed or believing that Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. Believe means to put your confidence and your hope and your trust in Jesus. You might say you believe a chair will hold you up, but actually what trusting is going over and sitting down in the chair. And that's the idea of the word believe, is you put your hope in it, your trust in it. So after you believe, that means you trust in Jesus. It says you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you believed, He put within you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit took up abode in your heart. And Romans 8 said that the Holy Spirit is a first fruit. And that's the guarantee that something greater is coming. Now, let me read on here in Ephesians chapter 1. So Ephesians 1 saying basically the same thing as Romans chapter 8 is. After you receive the gospel of your salvation, after that you believe the gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, a promise. And it says in verse 14, which is an earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, here it says that the Holy Spirit is an earnest of our inheritance. Now, we got an inheritance to come. We have a home in the Father's house. And one of these days, we're going to go there and we're going to be there. And the guarantee that we're going to get what God's promised is the Holy Spirit. That's why in Ephesians 1 and verse 14, He's called an earnest. The only difference is in Romans 8, He's called the first fruits. Both are signs that something greater, or guarantees, I should say, that something greater is coming. So the Holy Spirit is an earnest, and He is the first fruits, and He's a guarantee that you're going to get the blessings that God has promised you. So here in Ephesians 1, it says that the Holy Spirit seals you, and that He is the earnest or the guarantee of our inheritance. Now, how long does the Holy Spirit have you sealed for? It says in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Now, that's what we're looking at tonight. We're talking about the redemption of our body. Those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ have a future redemption. And that will happen on the day of redemption, which is the day that Jesus Christ comes again. Sometimes we sing songs, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. And that's just speaking of the redemption of our body. We're going to get a new body. We don't have that benefit yet. It's a guaranteed benefit. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is an earnest or a guarantee of our future inheritance. He's a first fruit. He's the sign that something greater is coming out there in the future, and that will be, for us, a new body. And that's what we'll be greatly looking forward to. So the Holy Spirit is the first fruits, and then in the book of Ephesians, the Holy Spirit is said to be a seal and an earnest. Isn't that a tremendous blessing? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 also mentions the same truth. You see how the Bible just harmonizes with regard to us having the Spirit when we're saved, and then the Holy Spirit being our seal, our earnest, our first fruits, that we're going to get what God has promised us out there in the future. Now, notice what in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, and He that established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Now, listen to this, folks. Who hath sealed us? There you have the word seal used again. It's a mark of ownership. Sometimes when people own something, they'll put a seal on it. They'll put their name on it. And that seal is a token of ownership. Well, that's what the Lord did to us when He saved our soul. He put a seal on us. And He gave us an earnest, a guarantee. Sometimes when you speak of earnest money, the Holy Spirit's a down payment that you're going to get what God has promised you. It says He sealed us and He's given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. So we have the Holy Spirit, and that's what He's speaking of here in Romans 8 and verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. It says, we ourselves groan within ourselves. Now it says, those that have the Holy Spirit, the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, it says we groan within ourselves. And the idea of groaning is we sometimes sigh within ourselves. And that's because of different reasons. And we talked about suffering last week, and that's because of the suffering and things in this world that we go through in this old body. We sigh at times when we see sin in ourselves. I wish that I was perfect. If I had my way, I'd never commit another single sin. But I still recognize that I fall short and I fail. And I do that which is wrong. Now, there are people that claim to be perfect today, and I'm not going to say a whole lot about that, but you set the bar low enough, anybody can get over it. You need to understand what all sin is. There are sins of omission, where you know to do good and not do it. That is a sin. There are sins of not only omission, but there are sins of commission, where you just, you know what the Scripture says, you know something is wrong, and yet you do it anyway. Or you might, because of weakness of flesh, fall prey to a temptation, and you sin. So there's also sins of thought. I may not do something. I may really feel like telling somebody off, but I don't do it, but I might do it in my mind. I mean, to sin in your mind, when you study the Sermon on the Mount, is also a sin. So when you understand how many things are sins, then you can see that you're not perfect in this life. You're changed. You have a desire to do that which is godly and righteous. That's a sign of being born again. And sin will grieve you after that you're saved. That's why the text says we groan within ourselves. And one of the things that causes us to groan is when we see sin in ourselves. Paul said in Romans 7, here's an example of it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See, he recognized that though he was born again, saved, that he wasn't perfect. In the book of Philippians, he said that he had a vile body. And he looked forward to the day when God would change his vile body and to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So we see sin in ourselves, we sigh within ourselves. That's what this is talking about. Well, when we see sickness in our body, experience sickness in our body, and we see friends and loved ones that we love get sick, it causes us to sigh within ourselves. When we experience aging and the weakness that's associated with that, we often sigh within ourselves. We groan within ourselves. When we see loved ones and friends go through physical death, and we attend funerals, it causes us to groan within ourselves. And this groaning is because of these sorrows and sufferings and things that are associated with this life and this old sinful body. And we look forward to the day of getting a new body, a body that'll never get sick, a body that'll never sin, a body that will not age, and a body that will not die. So we groan within ourselves. That's what it's referring to in the text. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, but because of these things that are associated with this sinful body and this life, we groan within ourselves, waiting, it says, for the adoption. That's the full consummation of our adoption. I've been adopted. I'm a child of God now, and out in the future, I'm going to get the full benefit of being a child of God, and that is, I'm going to get a new body. And that's what it refers to in verse 23. It speaks of the redemption of our body. Now, I've been redeemed. I was in bondage under a sin curse. And we mention that so often on the broadcast. We speak of the sin curse. Everyone that has committed one sin is under it. Matter of fact, the Bible says we was born in sin. In sin, the book of Psalms says, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born with a sinful nature. So what happens as a result of that is that places us under a sin curse. Bible says, cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which is written in the law to do them. So that means we broke God's law. That's what the definition of sin is in the book of 1 John 3 and verse 4. For that reason, we're under a bondage and we need to be redeemed. Redeemed means to be set free from our bondage. Well, I've been redeemed. I've been set free from the bondage of my sin debt through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about being redeemed by His blood. Jesus came, and when you think about His blood, you think about Calvary. That's when He died on Calvary to pay the debt that we owe. And when you trust Jesus, then that sin debt, you're free from it. That's why the term is used, redeemed. It means to be set free from bondage. When the children of Israel was in Egypt, it says that they were redeemed out of Egypt. What does that mean? They were set free from their bondage. So I have been redeemed. And Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 says, being justified by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So I've been justified by His grace through the redemption. I've been redeemed. I've been set free from the bondage of my sin debt. The price of my redemption was the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says that we've been redeemed through His blood. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. So I've been redeemed. I've been set free from the bondage of my sin debt. But this text in Romans 8 speaks of us waiting for the redemption of our body. That's future. And that's when we receive the full benefit of our redemption. It's guaranteed. That's why the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is the down payment, the guarantee that we're going to get a new body. But we're going to get a new one. And when we get that new body, that redeemed body, then we will be without sin. Now, as far as our sin debt is concerned, that account's paid in full. But we're going to get a new body that will never sin. And we look forward, we groan, and when we get that new redeemed body, we'll never get sick. We'll never age. We'll never die. We will never sin. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, it says, when we see Him, we will be like Him. Now, that's the precious hope that we have, and that's what we groan and look forward to. We look forward to that coming redemption of our body. As a matter of fact, when Jesus comes again, it's also called the day of redemption. I mentioned this earlier, but I want to read the text that's associated with it. In the book of Luke chapter 21, it speaks when Jesus comes again. It says, and there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars upon the earth, distress of the nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart filling them for fear. It'll be a fearful day when Jesus comes for those that know not God. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now listen to this, folks. And then shall they see, won't be a secret when Jesus comes. A lot of people think it's going to happen and no one knows what's going on. That's not true. Then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. See, they shall see Him coming in the clouds. And when these things begin to happen or begin to come to pass, it says, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. That's the day of redemption. That's the day you get your new body. That's the day when the first resurrection happens. The resurrection of the just happens. And that will be our resurrection. We'll get a new body. Now, the Bible goes on and points out further. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15, there'll be a generation of people that never dies. And to those that when Jesus comes on this day of redemption that have never died, they'll be caught up. That's where the term rapture comes from. Together to meet them in the clouds. Meet Jesus in the clouds is the main one we'll be wanting to see. Is that not true? But we'll also have loved ones there that have died that knew Jesus. They will be in the clouds there too. That's the day of redemption, and that will also be what we like to call the happy reunion day. Well, we groan for that, do we not? We look forward to that. And that's what Romans 8, our text that we're looking at this evening, is referring to in verse 23. We groan within ourselves waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, if I may, I want to scoot back up and look at verses 19 through 22. And there it points out that not only in verse 23, God's people groan, but in verse 19 through 22, it points out that the creation itself groans and looks forward to the manifestation of the children of God when God's people receive their new bodies. Because when we get our new bodies, the earth is also going to get a new body, is it not? Look at 2 Peter said that there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And the creation looks forward to that. Notice what it says in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Now, the idea of the word creature in verse 19 and creature in verse 20 and creature in verse 21 is creation. And it's translated creation in verse 22. So it says that the creation waits for the manifestation for the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. So not only do we groan as we look forward to that new heaven and new earth and that new body, but it says even the creation looks forward to that. Now, you got to remember, whenever man fell into sin, it affected the creation too, did it not? In the book of Genesis chapter 3, there was a curse that was also placed upon the earth because of Adam's sin. And one of the blessings of the coming new earth is that curse will be lifted. And certainly the creation is pictured as looking forward to that. You see, before the fall, there wasn't no violence in creation. Before the fall, there wasn't no death in creation, and there wasn't no decay. But as a result of man's sin, even the creation itself was corrupted. And if you'll remember, even the ground was cursed because of the sin of Adam. So we see that the creation itself looks forward to God's children being manifested. And the book of Isaiah, in figurative language, shows us how it's going to be. And this is a beautiful text of Scripture. Sometimes you'll see people will draw pictures of this, and it just describes a time of perfect peace and tranquility as it looks at the coming kingdom of God's people. It says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." Now, that doesn't happen now, does it? A wolf would eat a lamb. Creation is filled with violence. Why is it? It wasn't like that before the fall. See, man's sin also corrupted the creation. It says the wolf, though, shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid. That's a goat. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together and the little child. And a little child shall lead them. See, it's just showing you a time when the earth will be at perfect peace. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Sucking child shall play on the hole of an asp. The weaned child shall put his hand on a cockatrice den. That's a poisonous snake. Now, the purpose of the text is to show the peace that will be in the coming kingdom. That's why the creation groans for it. There will be no violence in it. There will be no death in it, no decay in it. because it will go to being the way it was before sin entered the world and corrupted it. Since they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isn't that a blessed text of Scripture? So there it shows how creation will be restored back to how it was before sin entered. And there won't be decay and death and violence and corruption as it was before. Things will be different. And that's the reason why the creation is shown here in the text as groaning and looking forward to when God's children will receive the full benefit of the redemption, a new body. Book of Isaiah 65 says, "Behold, I create a new heavens," and verse 17, "Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing, a rejoicing her people with joy." It goes on to say in the latter part of the text, it says, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like a bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, saith the Lord." So you see the creation groans and it looks forward to that new body one day. That we're going to get a new body. God's people's going to get a new body. When that happens, there's also going to be a new heavens and a new earth. So the creation also looks forward to that coming manifestation, redemption of the new body of God's people. When we're going to get a new body, and when the price of our redemption, which has been paid by Jesus, when we'll receive the full benefit of that and be with Him in a new body, be with Him in a perfect kingdom, be with Him on a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You say, "Pastor, do you believe these things are so?" The Bible says, "Is it so?" And isn't that a glorious thing to look forward to? Well, let's finish this evening. Hope it's been a blessing to you tonight. And if you're not redeemed, though, you see, if you're not redeemed, then you have no future to look forward to. This benefit of a new body, a new redeemed body, a body like Jesus, one never gets sick, age, or dies, that's the benefit of God's people. My friend, if you're unsaved, if you've never trusted Jesus, then you don't have no future look ahead of you, but one that is will be, the Bible says, an eternal destruction from the presence of God. You need to be redeemed. You need to be set free from your sin debt. Let's read on. "For we are saved by hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, we do with patience wait for it." Well, we have good hope. The name of this radio broadcast is Good Hope Through Grace. And because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, we have the good hope of one day seeing Jesus, of one day seeing our loved ones that died in Jesus, of one day getting a new body and being like Jesus. That's good hope. That's why we have this broadcast, so that you can attain the same hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Friends, I hope if you, as you've listened to this message, you've seen the need to call upon Jesus' name and receive Him as your Savior. May God.